This section will be a review for those of you who have previously studied biology, and in particular, human embryology, and it's intended just to give us an awareness of the different stages of embryonic and fetal development, and also to appreciate the difference between those terms when they're used in discussions of human development. Part of the reason for this discussion is to avoid the sometimes emotional associations that arise when discussions take place not specifically in the scientific or medical context, but outside, and where it seems at times that references are made to a fetus rather than to a baby. We will, both here and in our future discussions, use the medical term, which is to say fetus, not with any sense of lessening the value of this human life, but rather in order to distinguish the stages of development and, by describing the unborn child as a fetus, to provide in a shorthand way reference to the fact that it's not yet a newborn. So if we look now at the pictures that I have provided, we begin with embryonic development, and I've begun at week 3 because it is at this point that one can most easily begin to identify the, as it were, head end of the embryo and several of the developing features. What one sees in this picture of week 3, and I should add parenthetically what I've also described in the text, and that is that none of these photographs were obtained through the use of therapeutic or induced abortions. There was an effort on the part of the Carnegie Embryological Institute beginning already in the early 1900s to try to develop a photographic and microscopic record as carefully as possible, making use of resources all over the United States and even internationally to be able to compile and then to describe the different stages of development. And these are what one might call classic photographs that were obtained from various medical institutions throughout the country, generally speaking, after spontaneous abortions or after the removal of ectopic pregnancies in similar settings. So one is not looking here at the results of induced abortions. Here at week 3, what is referred to in the Carnegie stages as stage 11 allows us to see little rounded circles on either side of what is developing into the back of the embryo, and these are referred to as somites, which simply means bodies, and they will eventually participate and become part of the structures that become the spinal cord and the axial skeleton, the skeleton that is primarily the supportive, that is, the up and down portions of the skeleton, the vertebrae and the ribs and so forth. The head end, which is to the right, which is already becoming obviously differentiated into various portions of what will become the brain and the head, is clearly distinguishable from other parts of the embryo. And just to remind ourselves of how astonishing it is that even at this very early stage, one could be able to distinguish many of these different features, we might reflect on the fact that the embryo is at this point 2.5 to 4.5 millimeters in size, that is the size of a grain of rice or a little larger. If we now move down to week 4, we can see how clearly the somites are condensing around to become part of what will eventually become the spinal cord. There is also a bulge in the area of what is becoming the heart, and the brain and the head end is clearly distinguishable. I should have mentioned at the beginning that in describing weeks, these are weeks from actual fertilization and days from actual fertilization. That can be a little bit confusing sometimes because pregnancy is often calculated from the date of the last menstrual period, which would add an additional 2 weeks. But we're looking at the actual age of the embryo itself and not a calculated date. By the 5th week, we begin to see the buds of what will become the forelimbs, that is to say the arms, and if we drop down to what is marked as stage 14, 31 to 35 days, we're still relatively within the same 5th week, but then there is a pronounced bud which will become the legs as well. So one can begin to see how rapidly these structures are developing, and if we then move down to the sixth week, we have the development of what are pointed to here in the picture as the auricular hillocks, that is the little buds that will eventually become part of the ear. One can see the eye is developing as well, and there's a rather pronounced, a very pronounced bulge, which is the heart. The hand plate and foot plate are becoming more and more obviously limbs. And then at stage 17, between 42 and 44 days, one begins to have little rays appearing, which are going to distinguish between the different fingers and the beginnings of not only the eye, but also the area where the ear is forming in these little hillocks. Then in week 7, although we're only looking at the external photograph, the text mentions that ossification, that is the formation of bone, has begun at this point. Then within the same week, stages 20 and 21, between 51 and 54 days of age, we can begin to see distinct fingers and toes. Then by the eighth week, and this is the last week of so-called embryological development, and the distinction, as we'll see, is that at the end of approximately the eighth week, when the embryo will begin to be referred to as a fetus, beginning in the ninth week, the distinction or the difference is really that all the rudiments, all the tissue sort of clusters and clumps that will become the various organs are present. And so from this time onward, from the end of this eighth week, during the rest of fetal development, what one really has is changes in shape and size of organs which were already present in a rudimentary form during the embryological period. So it's not a question of the formation of something new, but the organization and growth of what is already present. And then looking at stage 22, the text emphasizes that here between 54 and 56 days, eyelids and external ears begin to form. And then at stage 23, 56 to 60 days, at the end of the embryological period, one has a rounded head. Body and limbs are clearly distinguishable. The umbilical cord is clearly formed, and one can see not only limbs, but the various parts of the limbs that are clearly developed. Again, this highlights in a kind of a poignant and tragic way the nature of abortion, because we are still very much within the first trimester, and therefore at this point where, again, all of the rudiments of structure for the developing a human being are present is a period where, in places where abortions are performed, there would be no hesitation or restriction on abortion at this stage. If we move now, we have finished, as it were, the eighth week and thus begin the period of fetal development. What we will now see, and we'll move through this rather quickly, is the growth and development of all of these structures. Again, not anything new, but simply a development and expansion in size. If we move down to weeks 9 to 12, I have a schematic drawing of a 10-week fetus. And here, as the text mentions, one is now looking at a fetus of about 3.2 inches by the end of the 12th week. Previously, when we were looking at the end of the embryonic development, at the end of the embryonic period, the size of this developing person was only about 3 centimeters, about the length of the last digit of your little finger. I should say the last joint of your little finger. And if we drop down now to a picture of a 12-week fetus with a text that describes the changes within the 13th to the 16th week, there is at this point approximately a 6-inch length. Development of more muscle and bones. The bones are becoming harder, more clearly ossified, and the infant is beginning to make active movements. And I hope you'll forgive me if I slip back and forth between using the term infant and the more technical or accurate medical term fetus in these descriptions. If we drop down to week 20, And the picture is of a 16-week-old developing fetus. The text describing week 20 points out that at this point you have not only fingers and toes, but fingernails and toenails, and a very fine kind of hair called lanugo hair that covers the entire body, which then begins to recede but is still present, to some extent, variable extent, at birth in some babies. At this point, a fetal heartbeat can be heard with a stethoscope and quickening, that is to say, the mother's awareness of the movement of the developing infant of the fetus now takes place. Now, I've included at this point statistics on viability. A great deal is said about viability in the context of abortion, because the term simply means the point at which it's possible for a fetus that is developed to survive. And this will depend to a very great extent on the availability of a neonatal intensive care unit and the ability to provide the developing delivered fetus with the kind of care that is necessary, since it hasn't yet developed to the point of actually being able to breathe air efficiently. There are various statistics on viability. There are tales, although they're not very well documented, of some survival all as early as 20 or 21 weeks. But in general, the term is usually used to refer to the point at which there is at least a 50-50 chance, if there is good care available for the fetus, which then is developed the now delivered infant to survive if it receives care. And generally, now in most institutions, and the statistics are from around the turn of the millennium, from 1990 and a little bit later, and they haven't changed a great deal, although they may be different in major medical centers with very active neonatal intensive care units. Generally speaking, this point at which there's a 50-50 chance of survival is usually given as 24 weeks or 24 to 25 weeks, depending upon the institution. This will have primarily, not exclusively, but primarily to do with the development of the lungs. If we drop down from these statistics of survival and live birth, and I should mention that these are survival statistics, not statistics of survival without some degree of damage. The fact of oxygen having to be given in high concentration, the tendency towards a hemorrhage within the brains of delivered very premature infants, and just difficulties with lung development in general, can mean significant problems, both in terms of survival, but then in terms of later life as well. Not always, but sometimes. If we drop down to the picture and the text on week 24, it mentions what we were just talking about, that at this point, the air sacs, the alveoli, are beginning to form in the lungs. Those are the very delicate membranes where air exchange, where the exchange of oxygen takes place, where you have air with a thin membrane separating the capillaries, which will then take in oxygen and give off a carbon dioxide into the lungs. If the alveoli have not formed, then the infant is not capable of surviving in air. Some new advances that have helped relatively recently have been the ability to administer artificial surfactant, a liquid that is that helps make the developing alveoli more flexible and less stiff. It's the presence or absence of this surfactant that was a very important aspect of neonatal survival in times gone by, and I'm sure development will continue in means by which infants can be kept alive. Again, other problems include the danger of hemorrhage into the brain, as well as the toxic nature of oxygen given in very high concentrations, which is necessary if the lungs are not able to exchange gas very efficiently. And from this point onward, what we're simply going to see is what I already mentioned in terms of fetal development, and that is increased size and the additional features that go on with the development of structures that are already present. So if we move on to the 25th to the 28th week, the text reminds us that we're now dealing with a fetus, with a soon-to-be infant of approximately 15 inches in length, about 2 pounds. pounds and a little more in size. The brain is very rapidly developing during this period, and the nervous system has developed to the point that it's taking over some of the body functions. The infant's eyelids are opening and closing. And as the text mentions, by this point, air exchange is possible, even though, of course, the infant is not breathing air at this time. If we drop down to weeks 29 to 32, there are breathing movements that take place, and there is mention in the text of other biochemical processes that we needn't worry too much about, rapid increase in the amount of body fat, and then if we go down to weeks 37, and really weeks 36 and then 37 to 40, it's simply an increase in the characteristics of what are going to enable the developing fetus, the soon-to-be newborn, to survive. And at this point, the delivery will almost certainly result in a viable infant as long as the infant gets adequate care. Now, again, our reason for looking at this was to make us more aware of the significance of abortion and the ending of human life at different stages, so that when various weeks or months of development are mentioned, we have pictures and concepts that can go along with that.